Good morning. Good morning. I have a couple things that I want to pray for this morning before we get into worship. But before I get into that, I want to read this verse in Matthew 6, verse 25. It says this, it says, "Therefore I tell you," this is Jesus talking, "do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" And I just wrote in my Bible, no. "And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into a fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." And this is the key part, church. "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." That is a good word. Amen. God is on the throne. That has kind of been the, it's just something that's been on my heart this morning. I said it to Tim this morning when he greeted me. And I just believe that if we can remember that our God is on the throne and that we don't have to worry, we don't have to, submit to the worries of this life, but instead allow God to do what God's going to do, we will be very blessed. Amen. So I have a couple things I want to pray for this morning. Pastor Gaylene had a knee surgery this Thursday, and so she is currently in recovery from that, which is why they are not here. So we're going to pray for them. I also want to lift up Jesse. Jesse had some mouth surgery and is in currently recovery from that, but he is here because I guess he's more holy than Mike and Gay. No, I joke. But we're going to be praying for him. We want to pray for Grandma Lindell, for Joanne. She's in need of healing in her body. And then the last thing I want to pray for, and I just felt as I was making this list so I wouldn't forget, I felt like God wanted to bless financial needs in homes today. And so if that's you, I would just ask as I pray, you receive it. I believe that God is blessing bodies. God is blessing those in recovery. God is blessing people who need healing in their eyes, in their ears, and everywhere. I just believe that God is our healer. And so so if you guys would stand with me, I'm going to pray, and then we'll get into worship. So God, we thank you so much for just who you are. We thank you for your glory. God, right now we lift up Pastor Gay. We lift up her body, God. We thank you, God, for the doctors, Lord, who worked on her knee. God, we thank you, Lord, for the schooling they went to. We thank you, Lord, for the strategies you've given them, God. And God, we pray that her recovery, Lord, would not be limited to what you or what they have said, God, but would be blessed by you, God. Lord, that although they say it may be weeks or months or whatever, God, that supernaturally, Lord, you would heal her knee, God. We thank you, Jesus, for a speedy recovery, God. And we just pray blessings over her body, Lord. God, we thank you, Lord, for Jesse. God, we thank you for the servant heart that he has and that he gives, Lord, to the house every week after week, year after year, God. And we just pray, Lord, healing over his body, over his mouth, God. We thank you, Jesus, that you are doing a work, Lord, there. And we just pray, God, for a speedy recovery, God, that there'd be no pain, God, that you would just heal him, Lord. God, we pray, Lord, for Joanne, God. Lord, this morning, God, we thank you, Lord, that you are healer. God, and regardless of age, regardless of circumstances, God, it does not change the fact that you are healer. So, God, we pray, Lord, right now, God, that you would bless her body, Lord. We pray, God, from her head to her toes, God, that you would just bring complete restoration to her body, God. We thank you, Jesus, for the doctors, Lord, that look after her, Lord, and that work on her. And we just pray that you would bless them with the strategies, Lord, from heaven of how to correctly minister to her body, God. God, right now I lift up finances in this house, God. Anyone who is in need, Lord, anyone who has been praying and asking, Lord, for more or praying for the needs of their home, God. We thank you, Lord, that you meet every financial need that we have, God. We thank you, God, that money is nothing to you, God. God, I pray, Lord, that we would be good stewards, Lord, of the things that you've given us, Lord, including money, God, our jobs, Lord, the resources you've given us. And so I pray, Lord, that you would bless the homes represented in this house abundantly, God. Lord, that there would be just an overflow of your blessing, God, in the homes, Lord, represented here in One Life Family Worship. God, we thank you that your presence is here. God, we thank you, Lord, that before we even opened these doors, before we even started playing music, before we did anything holy, Lord, your presence was here. And right now, we step into that, God. Right now, we open up our hearts. We open up our minds. We open up, Lord, ourselves to you, God, that we would go after what you want to do, God. Let us not do one thing if your presence isn't in it. Holy Spirit, lead Caden today as he leads. Holy Spirit, lead every aspect of this morning, God. We thank you. We thank you for who you are. And I pray, God, as we worship you this morning, Lord, we would be excited, Lord, because you're in the room. Lord, we would be excited because you are alive. We would be excited because we are alive. We would be excited because death no longer reigns over our life. Sin no longer reigns over our life. We would be excited because we are victorious. We are more than conquerors. Lord, that there is nothing that could come against us, Lord, as long as we are walking hand in hand with you. And I just thank you, Jesus, for your peace, for your glory, and for all these things. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Let's worship you guys.
Yeah, I just encourage you, don't worry about the words for a second. Just let this worship bring you peace.
Searching for answers far and wide. inexplainable. I can hardly think as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love.
Thank you. Even when I feel that you're working,
to him. Sing, you are way maker, miracle work, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Sing it again. Sing, you are way maker, miracle work, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. One more time, sing it from your heart. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 And that is who you are. It is. Oh, that is who you are. That is who you are. And that is who you are. That is who you are.
Thank you.
deserve the glory.
Exalted.
before from you to you.
Like there's a pouring of the Holy Spirit this morning. And if you just need, you need God to just touch you right now, this is a moment where I'd ask that you would just press in, whatever that looks like for you, whether it's at your seat, whether it's that you come up front, whether it's you on your face, whether it's you on your knees. I just feel like we need to be obedient in this moment. And as we pursue God, as we say, yes, God, we're here, that we're not just saying words, we're not just giving God lip service, we're not just saying, God, we're here from 10:30 to noon, and then we want to move on to the next thing. But we're saying, God, whatever it is you want to do in our lives, God, we are here to receive that. We're here to receive your love. We're here to receive your glory. We're here to receive your correction and your discipline. We're here to receive the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And so right now, sons and daughters, I would just ask that you would just press in. And right now, if you're feeling stirred in your heart, that you would be obedient to the calling of the Holy Spirit and what it is that he wants to do in your life. We thank you, God. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are moving today, that you are moving right now. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are guiding us in our lives. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're speaking to us this morning, God. Right now, I just release visions into the minds, Lord, visions into the spirits of your sons and your daughters. Lord, questions that have been asked for weeks or for years even. Lord, right now, you would bring revelation to your sons and your daughters. Holy Spirit, areas of our lives that have been foggy, areas of our lives that have been felt like there's been a blockage right now, I just release clarity in this place. We thank you that you are a God of order. We thank you that you bring clarity in places that just seem so confusing. Right now in this place, I pray for bondages to be broken off in these minds and in these hearts. God, I pray, Lord, for areas that need to be forgiven. Any area that where there's unforgiveness. Right now, God, I pray, Lord, that you'd begin to minister to hearts, God. Offenses that took place, God, I pray, Lord, that you would heal those places right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you're not in a rush to get to the next thing. Thank you, Jesus, that you're not afraid of awkward. You're not afraid of the uncomfortable. You're not afraid of discomfort. You're not afraid, Lord, to keep us, Lord, in a moment, Lord, where you want to move. And receive what you have for us this morning, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
And there's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. Oh,
tasted and seen the sweetest of loves. And my heart becomes free, and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord, your Holy Spirit.
Thank you so, so much for your goodness, for your mercy, for your healing abilities, God. Jesus, we thank you that you are always faithful to show up where no one else does, and when no one else does, you are the one that will always show up. God, I pray, Lord, that revelation, Lord, would just seep deep into our hearts this morning. God, I pray, Lord, that this morning, if we accomplish nothing, God, we would accomplish being invaded by your Holy Spirit, encountered by your Holy Spirit. That, Lord, that our hearts would be overflowing with your Spirit. The areas where we are feeling lack, God, that you would fill those places with your Holy Spirit. The areas where we have questions, that you would fill those spaces with Holy Spirit. We thank you that you're in the room. We thank you that you have continued to be with us day and night, night and day. We thank you that you've continued to just love us, even when we felt like we didn't deserve love, even we feel like we didn't deserve to be called a son or a daughter, that you still loved us. Jesus, we just thank you so much for the life you've given us, for the freedom you've given us. God, I thank you for this place. I thank you for what you're doing, what you're going to continue to do. God, I pray, Lord, for the remainder of this service, God, that we would not move without your Holy Spirit guiding us. We just thank you so much, God, that you're going to continue to be with us in all that we do today. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen, amen. Thank you, worship team. Greet one another. We'll take a short little break, and then we'll be right back.
Good morning, good morning. Okay, there you are. I was just making sure you guys were with me. So, what's that?
I had cookie in my mouth.
Oh, that's all right. I can forgive that. Good morning. So, I'm here to give you guys the announcements. First one being host home prayers. Oh, just kidding. Guess what? I was testing you. And you guys let me down. I'm sorry. No, okay. Declaration. And this time we're doing it of the house. If you guys would stand with me so we can declare the things that we'd love to see, that if we're not already seeing them, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. On the count of three. One, two, three. We declare that God is building our church, that God is calling us to the basic gospel, and that he is awakening our church, that we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord. We declare that God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move where his heart moves, that he will cultivate a right heart and right mind. And we declare that we are becoming a house of prayer for all nations. Yes, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you have a heart for our house, God, that you have a heart for the city. Father, I pray that as we go through today, Lord, that we just each encounter you in a whole brand new way, Father, that we'd feel your refreshing wind and your, like, rain of fire, Father, that we'd begin to burn for you in a different way than before, Father, that our love for you would be so contagious, Father, that people would begin to ask questions about why we're so joy-filled, why we're so peaceful, why we're so kind, why we're so gentle. Father, we just pray right now that your heart would be our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so now I will give you guys the announcements. Saturday night prayer, host home. Let's see here. The next one coming up is the 20th, which is at Dawn and Gloria's. That's so exciting. So we've been kind of, with the graduation season, have been a little bit busy and missed a couple, but we can't wait to get back into it, you guys. If you can, I encourage you to make Saturday night prayer a priority and go, because the things I imagine that are happening are just incredible, and they're moving mountains, and I believe that we're going to be seeing miracles. Like, I can speak to one already. A couple, months ago, we were praying for my surrogacy, and I got a word spoken over me of double portion, and now it turns out I'm carrying twins, and so I'm like, that's awesome. So the people that I'm carrying these babies for are going to get two babies out of the deal, which is really awesome, so I'm excited. God cares about the little things. He cares about the big things. And when we get to just like take a place and host his presence and allow him to move, it's amazing what you get to see happen in Jesus' name, right? Okay, and then we have men's barbecue, you guys. Oh, men, go get some grub. Like, Zeke knows how to grill, let me tell you. His food is legit. I wish I was a dude at this time. Not really, okay? Just so I can partake of the food. But yeah, it's a good time, fellowship. So if you have friends that you haven't invited before, even if you have, try again. Make sure you make it there. Enjoy some food, enjoy some fellowship, enjoy some just good time with one another. Amen. And then we just want to thank you for giving. You guys know the drill. If you feel led, you can give online for those of you watching at onelifefamily.com. Those of you here, if you want to be traditional, we have the box here and in the back. All right. So without further ado, oh, and children's. I don't know who gave me the mic, you guys. I don't know why they gave me this job. Children, if you're in the house, please come up so we can pray over you and bless you. All right. And try not to hurt somebody on the way. Okay. All right. So if you guys will just extend your hands with me so we can bless these kids out. Father, I thank you for who you are in each and every one of these children. Lord, I pray that as they learn more about you and your creation, God, that they'd fall even more in love with you, that their hearts also would just be on fire. Father, that we learn to be more like them without filters, without you know, life-colored glasses, God, but that we'd be able to enjoy you fully the way that they do. Lord, that they'd be, that the way that they accept you, that we'd begin to accept you. And so, Father, when we go downstairs with them, Lord, that they would receive you in a new way and pour out your spirit everywhere they go in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. God is good. Amen. I'm excited to share the word. Mike and Gay send their love. They are watching online. Like I mentioned at the beginning of service, Gaylene is in recovery. And because Pastor Mike is a great husband, he's there in her recovery. And so keep her in your prayers, and hopefully we'll see them again soon in full recovery. So I want to spend a few moments talking about, I titled my message Rhythm and Routine. And if you're like me, maybe you can relate to this, but I am generally someone who thrives in routine. Okay. And so I don't really know where this came from. I don't know exactly where this started. You know, my mom is somebody who's very orderly, so I can imagine that's something where I gathered it from. Also, my mom is I don't know how else to say it. She is chronically late to everything. And so, you know, it is very true that Hispanics run on a different clock, and it is something that I did not inherit. Praise the Lord. And so, but nonetheless, I thrive in routine. And so we've worked in youth ministry for a long time. And so my you know, yearly clock still really operates. Even before I worked in the school system, it really operates from September to June. Like, that's how my mind works as far as the year goes. And so going from, you know, high school to doing that, and then doing some college, and then, you know, having working in youth ministry and now working in the school, my mind continues to go there. And so now here we are in June, and I know that not everybody gets the privilege to have their summers off, but now I have my summers off, and which is a really great thing. The bad thing about it is that more free time isn't always a good thing. Okay, and I don't mind free time. I don't mind getting days. You know, I love weekends. Obviously, I love breaks. I love all that stuff. Also, I have to be very intentional to make sure that I create healthy habits. And so, I don't mind, you know, staying up every so often or sleeping in every so often and all that. But I find that I don't thrive in those just do whatever you want, free moments. And so my goal going into the summer was, how do I create healthy habits and routines for myself, but also for my kids? And so having little kids in the house, it is a struggle, because you don't want to, I'll just speak for myself, I don't want to just say, hey, here's a device, or here's a phone, or here's a TV, go and just be entertained. And also, it's also very quiet when they're just on a media and device, right? Can I admit that for a second? Like, as a parent, it's nice when they're just there watching that thing and not bothering me for a second. And so my challenge this summer has been, okay, how do I create these routines? How do I create these rhythms? And as I was processing this, thinking about this for my family, and started thinking about this word for this Sunday, I thought, man, I have been really going after, in these practical matters with my family, practical matters with myself, but also spiritually, is how am I going to continue to create rhythm and routine? Who is the best person that had a good rhythm and routine? Jesus. Jesus, I would say, probably the best rhythm and routine in his walk on this planet with his connection with the Father. And there's plenty more. I only picked three. There's plenty more. And one of the ones that came to my mind is rhythm and routine of forgiveness. And I don't know why, but that continues to be something that just resonates in my mind, resonates in my heart, that Jesus walked in forgiveness, the ultimate forgiveness, even up until he's on the cross in his last breath. Forgive them, Father, right? For they don't know what they're doing, essentially. We, in our lives, in our Christian life, because we have submitted our life to Jesus, the rhythm and routine that we absolutely need to be really good at is forgiveness. I would say this, that as Christians, we absolutely should be the poster child for forgiveness. It's easier said than done, believe you me, and we've all had moments where we've had to walk through an individual or individuals where we've had to walk through this process of, God, how do I release this person because of what they did or what they said or whatever the thing is, and I'm telling you today that with the power of God, we can have victory in that. On our own, maybe not so much. On our own, it's very difficult. With God, it's still difficult, but it's way more possible. Amen? And so I want to pray, and then I'll get deeper into this. So God, we thank you so much that you, Lord, are the one guiding us. We thank you, God, that you are the one, Lord, that guides us, Lord, through the thick, through the thin, Lord, through the seasons where everything's going good and through the seasons where everything is just really, really rough. And God, I thank you that you are the one on the throne today. You are the one on the throne every day. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are the one that gives us the power, God, to just live our life in a thriving manner, God. You are the one that gives us the power and the ability to walk in forgiveness. You are the one that gives the power us the power and ability, Lord, to do the things, Lord, that you said we would do and that you called us to do. And I just thank you, Lord, that you are with us in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus displayed the proper way to live a life of balance. And some of us may think, well, I'm not Jesus. That's correct. But we have Jesus inside of us. Therefore, we're properly equipped. And so, like I said, there's three areas that I want to focus on this morning that I believe Jesus exemplified a great rhythm and routine. And I'll tell you all three, and then we'll unpack this. The first, and I'll go through these, but the first one is calm. The second one is my notes are out of order. Community, calm, community, and then my last one is communion. And so calm, what do I mean by calm? I mean rest. Jesus showed a really good example of what it looked like to rest. For an individual who had a thriving ministry for the 3 years that he was doing his ministry here on earth, he had a very eventful, very busy, a very fruitful ministry. Yet, Jesus showed us that we should rest. Jesus was not afraid to rest. And rest doesn't mean do nothing. Sometimes it does. Sometimes rest means we just need to stop and you just need to go and go for a walk or go take a nap or go just stare at a wall. Like sometimes we just need to shut our brain off and just rest. Sometimes. But rest is stepping away and recharging. So in Luke 5, it says this, starting in verse 12. It says, while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I'm willing, he said. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. But Jesus, verse 16, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Why? Jesus was well-versed in the ability to step away. Stepping away and creating space is a healthy habit. Stepping away and pushing pause on life, even if it's for 5 minutes, If some of us are blessed with more time to do so, an hour, a couple hours, we're going to step away and we're going to rest. We're going to learn how to rest. There's this great book I recommend you all read. It's by a pastor, and he used to be in Portland. I don't know where he is now. His name is John Mark Comer. He wrote this book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And I can't recommend this book enough. And what he does is John Mark Comer unpacks this idea that we've been plagued with in society, that everything needs to go. We need to go. We need to move. Everything is growing, right? And although I think that there are some times that, yes, we need to go, I also believe this, that if the enemy can't get us to not believe in God, he will get us to be busy. He will get us to be distracted by life. And it could be things that aren't even inherently evil, right? Our jobs, right? Our families, our habits, our rhythms in life, the things that we feel like we have to do. And before we know it, we're like, when's the last time I actually read my word outside of church? When's the last time I actually prayed and it wasn't just for my meal? When's the last time I actually encountered the Father and it wasn't at some super spiritual holy moment? So I'd encourage us all, we would step away and create a space. Space without distraction, your phone, your kids, family, obligations. Jesus stepping away wasn't him saying, I hate this ministry or I hate these people. But instead, it's him saying, I need to be filled up in order to be able to pour out. I believe this, that although Jesus being fully God, fully man, the fully man part knew, I need to make sure that this spirit, that this fleshly spirit that wants to do evil needs to be filled up with all of him so I'm able to pour out. When I was younger, I bought my, and I think I've told this story before, but I'll just tell it quickly. So when I bought my first like real vehicle, right, from a car lot, and I thought everything, you know, I felt like a big man and all this stuff. And I bought a truck as well, which I don't know why I bought a truck, but I bought a truck. It doesn't matter. And when I got it, had a full tank of gas as it should from the lot. And I drove it for about a week. Now, I know I've said this a lot, that I don't know a lot about a lot. And although I'd been driving for years at this point, it just didn't dawn on me to question the fact that after a week, my tank had remained full. I just thought, man, I had got a really good deal on this truck. I've been driving to and fro, and I have that gas meter has not changed a bit. Until one day, I'm on my way to work, and I remember I was pulling around Knob Hill or onto 24th from Knob Hill, and just as I made that turn, the truck died. I'm a week into this now, whatever, 5-year contract, and I'm thinking, what just happened? And so I called somebody, and I said, hey, I don't know what happened. The truck died. I'm down the road from my work, and I genuinely don't know. And because I'm just so naive, again, didn't even think to question it, is because the gas gauge didn't work in my truck, right? So then I had to learn how to know how many miles it took, all the things, right? And here's the thing, though. Unfortunately, a lot of society and a lot of the church operates on E. We operate on empty, right? Because the car will still run for X amount of miles, right, on empty. Right? But we'll do that in the namesake of, well, this is what I have to do, or this is, you know, this is my job, or this is my thing, when sometimes the answer to our anxiety, to our prayers, to all these things is just rest. Sometimes it is you need to go get in your word and you know, get a revelation from the Lord. Sometimes you need to go meet with somebody. Sometimes you need to go do whatever it is that God's calling you to do. Sometimes it's just you need to go rest. You've been running on E. And you're puttering along, and you're trying to figure out, why do I feel so overwhelmed? Well, you haven't went to the source and gotten filled up in a long time. If I'm not full, I have nothing to pour out. If I'm not full, I cannot be the best husband that I want to be. I can't be the best father. I can't be the best pastor. I can't be the best friend. I need to be filled up. How do I get filled up? I rest in him. Your rhythm of life must include rest. The second thing was community. What is community? People you do life with, not just friends, not just peers, not just people you know their first and last name, but people who actually do life with. These are the people you celebrate with. These are the people you mourn with. These are the people that you're able to call up at a drop of a hat and say, hey, I need, you know, prayer. I need to talk. I need money for gas. I need, like, this is community. This rhythm can be hard to obtain. And this is something I've learned in my adult life, that having community is actually a struggle, but it's something that Nancy and I have contended for in our life to make sure we have community around us. But God put specific people in your life. So who are you running with? Mark 3, verse 13 says this: Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. To them he gave the name Barnabas, which means sons of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Here's my point, church. You need people, okay? Christians, God-loving, God-fearing, prayer warrior, giant slaying, mountain moving, faith-filled people in your life. You need these people. Who are your spotters? That verbiage I use, spotters, because if you've ever lifted a heavy weight or if you've ever been on a bench, right? It is unwise to lift a certain amount of weight when you're trying to max out and you don't have anybody there to help spot you. Are they lifting the weight for you? No. They are spotting you because the strength that I don't have, they have for me. I have a good friend. His name is Josh Cook. He's a pastor over at Living Faith Victory Center, the church that is in our old building. And he has been somebody in the last few years that I did not expect to be somebody that would be a spotter in my life. And this is what I mean. We have to pay attention to who God's bringing in our life and ask God, is this somebody who you desire in my life? And how can I be a blessing to them, and how are they a blessing to me? And so Josh, when we lived in Portland, I'm on these Facebook pages of youth pastors from all over the nation. And I saw Josh had posted something on this Facebook page, and he was from Yakima. He was here. And I was in Portland. I was like, hey, hometown. I reached out to him. What's up? How's it going? Tell me what's happening in our hometown, right? So we kind of talk a little bit, and I don't really think much of it. But then we move back. We move home. And I remember, oh, that Josh guy. I should actually like connect with him. So I start connecting with Josh, and at first wasn't really sure what to do with him. Now, if you've ever met Josh, he is a lot in a good way. He is full of Holy Spirit. He loves his word. I mean, talk about being challenged to know your word. Every conversation is a quote from the Bible. And if he misquotes it, he'll apologize to me. He's like, I'm sorry, I can't remember the exact quote. I'm so sorry. Like, I don't care if you know the Bible like through and through, okay? It's okay. And he challenges me. And over the last few years, he's been somebody that I've been able to pull on. I called him this morning and said, hey, can we just pray this morning? Because I'm preaching this morning and I know that you're doing something at your church as well. And I just feel like we should just be praying with one another. Like, these are people that we need people in our lives that we're going to pray with, that we're going to, that are going to encourage us. Josh not only encourages me, but he challenges me. I know I can call Josh right now, and there's a good chance he would pick up because he's going to be in my corner. So community matters. Jesus knew this. This is why he chose his people. It wasn't at random. It wasn't just, okay, who's here? You. No, there was a choosing that Jesus took upon himself to choose his people. And if you don't have community, go find them. If you don't know how, this is where we pray, which moves on to our next one. The rhythm and routine that Jesus did really well is communion. It's communion. Okay, Jesus knew the importance of being in communion with the Father. And I believe this, that he did it on purpose, where he displayed what it looked like to not only step away, but not step away and do nothing, step away and be in communion with the Father and go to the source. Being in communion with the Lord was not just a cute idea for Jesus, it was everything. Jesus understood the power in prayer. And this is why I believe that this house there's been an emphasis in this house this year on being in a house of prayer, of being a house where we gather and we don't just lift up cute little prayers, but we actually pray with an authority from heaven. We actually pray with a belief that God hears us and that he's going to do something. And so, again, I'm going to encourage you, another plug for our house prayers is that if you can, make it a priority to try to go to at least one, maybe every other one. And I believe, I truly believe that when the saints gather and we lift up our needs, our desires, what is on God's heart in prayer, we move God's heart. I truly, truly believe that. So Matthew 6, verse 5. This is Jesus talking to his disciples, and he says, and when you pray, do not be like hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full, but when you pray, go into the room or into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, and we as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Most of us, if not all of us, would admit this, that prayer is important. Yet, I would say the church, the capital C church, gives little time to it, unfortunately. You know what's sadder than a church void of Christians? A church full of Christians void of prayer. I think that, I know that it grieves the Lord's heart that we would ever gather and miss him. That we would gather and we would know how to do all the things. We know how to display worship. We know how to say amen at the right time. We know how to look the part, yet never encounter him. I truly believe this, that God is stirring something up in this house specifically, but I know houses all over the valley or churches all over the valley, that stirring something up in going after him in such a great way, in that we would not be content with having a prayer meeting, a church gathering, a home group, a small group, and he's not there. I truly, truly believe that. So does your rhythm include time and prayer, or is it an afterthought? I've started to set a reminder. I've started to set a reminder in my phone, prayer time. It's time to pray. I set a reminder today to call Josh again next Sunday just to see, hey, can we pray again? And so at this point in society, at this point in 2026, it's actually nearly impossible for us not to create rhythms. Because of technology, because of all this, we have to be intentional about it. So does your rhythm include time in prayer? So my challenge many times to people is simple. Did you pray about it? It's amazing to me how many times I'll talk to people, and they're, especially young people, they're trying to make a decision or they're trying to decide something, and I'll ask them, well, have you prayed about it? And they're like, well, no. And I just don't quite understand a Christian not bringing it before the Lord and saying, God, what do you think? Like, there's nothing wrong with going to people. I think absolutely, like I said, community, we need people. The Proverbs talks about having many advisors, getting counsel from many advisors. We need people. Also, the ultimate word is from God. The ultimate word is, God, what do you say about this? God, what you put this on my heart, so what do you say about this? God is faithful to guide us in with his Holy Spirit through prayer. Jesus knew this, which is why he spent so much time doing it. So this summer, here's my challenge, and here's the thing that I'll end with this in my final statements, is that it's summer, we all know that, and statistically, I don't know the stats like exactly, but I do know statistically, working in the church as long as I have, churches in the summer is the least attended, bless you, is the least attended. And it's for a variety of reasons, right? Summer, we go on vacation. Summer, it's warm outside, especially if you live in an area where you get nice weather. And I'm not necessarily worried about people being in church for Sundays during summer. What I am worried about is us, like I'm tempted to do, it's summer break, so let me go on coast mode for 3 months. And here's my challenge. My challenge is that we would be a church where we would not go on coast mode for the summer, but we'd actually press in deeper over the summer. That when fall comes around, we're actually so close to God that we don't have to restart any rhythms. We don't have to restart any cycles. We don't have to restart any routines. We're already so in depth in the Lord. We're actually so connected with the Lord that we're going into summer or into fall thriving. This summer, let's be a group of people who set up our lives to not only be close to Jesus, but to be like Jesus. The rhythms and routines of our Savior, although difficult to replicate, can be mirrored with some effort. We won't get it right all the time, and that's okay. We must fight the temptation to be complacent in our faith and the temptation to ignore the more of God. He does not only desire our Sundays, but he desires all of us. Bring him into your everyday. Bring him into your marriage, into your jobs, into your hobbies. Bring him into your sadness, your anger, your depression. Bring him into everything. Begin the proper rhythm with God and watch your life be transformed by him. This is what I believe God wants to say to us, church, is that when we allow God into the rhythms of our life, how do we create new cycles in our life? We have bad habits. We have to create a new cycle. How do we stop bad cycles? We create a new cycle. Okay? I don't know how I get up and my first thing is I want to be on my phone, or I want to be distracted, or I want to be whatever. Okay, well, the only way to break that cycle is to create a new cycle. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get up and I'm going to have an alarm and I'm going to have my Bible out so that I read at least a couple minutes before. I'm going to give him my first fruits. And this is a challenge. I know this is a simple message, but I just believe that God is saying, hey, we can do more in our day-to-day in order to get closer to him. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for the rhythms and routines you taught us, that God, that there's so many more that we could have went over. But God, we thank you, Lord. And I just pray right now that you would give us the strength and strategy, God, of how to be closer to you in our everyday lives. God, I pray, Lord, that you would remind us, God, of the times where we're lacking in our faith, the times where we're lacking in our devotion to you, God. And I pray, Lord, for a hunger to get stirred up in this place, God, a hunger for your word, a hunger for prayer, a hunger to be in your presence, Lord. Lord, that we would not be content, Lord, going a day without seeking you. Lord, I pray, Lord, that there would be some fiery Christians that would rise up in this place. Lord, people who would want to see a change and transformation in their lives, in their families' lives, in their workplaces, Lord, in their grocery stores, in all the places and in areas that they have influence in, God. Lord, that they would not be content with just being a Sunday Christian, God, but we, Lord, would contend, God, to be someone who is on fire for you. So help us in this, Lord. Help us create these rhythms and routines, Lord. Bring the right people along. Bring the right strategies along. We thank you so much, God, for today. We thank you again for all that you're doing, all that you're continuing to do, all that you've promised us, and that you're faithful to fulfill. And I just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Love you guys. Have a great week. And like I said, keep Gaylene in your prayers.